We're doing Birkei Avot. We're up to the fifth chapter, and some Mishnayos this is Mishnah Hey, and some Mishnayos this is Mishnah Vav, and some Mishnayos this is Mishnah Ches. Asara dvarim nivru ben hashmashot. 10 things were created in twilight. In our Mishnah, it's Mishnah Hey. So there were 10 things that Hashem created Friday afternoon of creation. Pi haaretz, the mouth, the opening of the earth. Pi ha-be'er, the mouth of that well that would give the Jewish people water throughout their travels in the desert. Pi ha-aton, the mouth of that mule that spoke to Bilam. Va-keshet, and the rainbow. Va-man, and the man. Va-mateh, and Moshe's staff. Va-shamir, and that special worm that would carve things out wherever you placed it. Va-ktav, and the writing. Va-michtav, we'll see what that is. Va-luchot, and the tablets. And some say also these mazikin, these creatures that harm, spiritual beings that harm. Vekvurato shel Moshe, in that special place where Moshe was buried. Ve'ilo shel Avraham, in the ram that Avram brought instead of his son Yitzchak. And some say also a clamp so Adam could make other things in the fire. Where do you get the first clamp for? Clamp to hold things in the fire. So the Rambam writes, I already explained in the 8th chapter of my introduction, the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos is called Shmona Prakim, 8 chapters of introduction. So in that 8th chapter, the Rambam explained that we don't say that every moment there's a new will from God, but rather God implemented a certain nature into creation. That it's not that every time you let go of a pen, God says, okay, let that pen drop. God created a nature that we can rely on. That every night the sun sets, every morning the sun rises. We say, Am chadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamid. But Hashem implemented within creation a nature. There's an order that things work. Ben shaya oto adavar nasa berov hazmanim, vo adavar tivi, be it things that happen over time, over and over again, meaning that's what we call nature. Or even miracles that were pre-planned into creation. This is the Rambam Shita. That had the Jews not been standing at the Yam Suf, at that moment it would have split. The miracle of the splitting of the sea was not the fact that it split. God did that through natural means. But God had the miracle that at that very moment that we had to cross, the sea split, and the moment later when they came in, the sea came crashing down on them. The Rambam learns that miracles are built into nature, even miracles. But the moment that they happen, that's the miracle. So the Rambam says, "Ulfichach amar," and that's why the Mishnah says, "Ki bayom ha-shishi," that on that Friday, as God was concluding creation, the earth was given that capacity to open exactly where Korach and his men would stand. And the well was given the capacity to give out water. Somehow it was given that natural capacity. And the mule to talk. And that's true for all the rest as well. So the Rambam here gave us a whole philosophy in this one paragraph. And that is that miracles are defined by the time in which they occur. If you will find the natural reason why the sea had to split at that time, the Rambam will say, that's what I told you. Right? If you'll find a natural reason why Bilam's mule will talk, the Rambam will say, fine, works. That's what I said all along. The Rambam says the miracles that we encounter are simply forms of nature. To us, they seem miraculous, but one day you might figure out how it worked naturally, and that's still a miracle. You guys got that? Okay. Vichtav, says the Rambam, when we say the writing preceded creation, that's a reference to the Torah that predated the world. That God had a Torah that predated the world. We say, the Gemara says, it was black fire on white fire, white fire on black fire. The Gemara says that there was a Torah up there in the concept of heaven. There was this concept of Torah that predated the world. Like the verse says, but We don't know how that Torah pre-existed. If the world doesn't exist, what does it mean that the Torah precedes the world? That's what God tells Moshe. Come up the mountain, come up the heavens, and I'll give you the tablets, okay, we understand what that is, and the Torah and the mitzvah that I already wrote to teach them. Meaning it already existed in writing, in whatever form of writing they use in heaven, it already existed, and God just says, now I just got to give it over to you, Moshe, and you teach them. The Mikhtav, and Mikhtav hu aktav asher al aluchot. Mikhtav, says the Rambam, is the special writing that was on the tablets. Kmo shneimar v'mikhtav mikhtav elokimu. It was God's writing on the luchos. V'shem atomar. So the Rambam says those are the two. We weren't sure what they meant. What does it mean, the writing and the mikhtav? So the Rambam says mikhtav is the writing that was on the luchos. Our sages say, if you think about the luchos, everything's carved out. How could it be that when you carve something, so then on one side it's readable, on the other side it's the reverse, right? It's the mirror image. And yet the Torah says the writing on the luchos was readable on all sides. It's carved through and through, and yet both sides read straight. How does that work? Okay, that's God's writing. We don't understand that. You carve in the luchos, and we say that they were completely carved through. Charut al haluchot. And yet you have letters that are whole circles. The mem, the samach. So the middle should have dropped, should have fallen out. How did that stay intact? That's one of the miracles, right? The same way the reading reads this, both sides. B'shem ha'tomah, maybe you'll say, im kol ha'moftim nitnu b'teva otan ha'dvarim misheshet yimei b'reshit. If all the miracles were already built into the nature from the 6 days of creation, madua yichdu elu asara. So then you have to say that about the 10 plagues also. You have to say that about every miracle that we encountered. So why did the Mishnah enumerate these 10 specifically? Da, so says the Rambam, I want you to know, shelo yichdum li'inyan she'en shamofet she'nitan b'teva drim mishesh timei b'reshit zulat elu. Ela amar she'elu haita asiyatam ben hashmashot bilvad. The Rambam says, I want you to know, the Torah, the Mishnah doesn't mean that the other miracles were not built into creation. What the Mishnah is saying is that these were built in at that hour of twilight. All the other ones were built into nature when they were created. When God created the sea, so then God built into the sea that at some point, just like the sea is affected by the constellations all year, the high tide, the low tide, so maybe that's how Hashem built into the nature of the sea or the nature of the stars that the time would come when they would split because of something that happened, something cosmic that happened. We don't know exactly what aspect of nature caused the splitting of the sea at that specific moment, in that specific way. We don't know. But at the end of the day, says the Rambam, it's not that the other miracles were not built into nature, but rather the other miracles were built in with each day's creation. Now God built in the capacity for certain miracles in that creation. But these specifically were in twilight. V'inenu malach ha-mashal. So I'll give you an example, says the Rambam. B'yom sheni, on the second day, be'et avdalat ha-mayim, when God split the waters, there were the waters that were above, the waters that were below. Nitan b'tivam sheibaka yam suf leMoshe v'yarden liYoshua. Built into the nature of the seas, of the waters, was that they would split for Moshe, for whatever reason, and for Yoshua. V'chein le'Eliyahu ve'Elisha, and so too for Eliyahu and Elisha, that the waters split for them. All this was built into the nature of water. There was a natural reason why it happened. Uveyom ha'vi'i be'et shenivret ha'shemesh, and on the fourth day when the sun was created, nitan b'shtamot bizman ploni kedaber Yoshua elea. God built in that there would be one day in creation that the sun would stand. As it says in Joshua, that Yoshua, when he was in the middle of fighting the war, the sun was about to set, Shabbos would settle in, and Yoshua said, "Son, I want you to stop. Shemesh begivon dom." So the sun stopped. Says the Rambam, yes. The miracle in it was that was the moment Yeshua needed it. But if you look at the nature of the world, if you could understand naturally how the sun was supposed to function, you could forecast that at that specific moment the sun would stop. So according to the Rambam, what's in a miracle? The moment in which it happens. But the fact that it happens, says the Rambam, if you look hard enough, you'll find the natural reason. But you won't find it happening again. The sun doesn't stop every 2,500 years of creation. Yeshua is standing there in the year 2498, right? That's the year we entered the land of Israel. And in that year, 2488, the sun stops. It's not like every 2488 years the sun stops for a day. V'chach shar ha-moftim, and this is the rule with all the other miracles, Ela she'elu asara nitnu b'tiv'i, b'tivei otam advarim ben ha-shmashot. These 10 stand out because they had to be implemented at twilight. Yes. Oh, so that's what we're saying. If you'll find the natural cause for a miracle, that doesn't bother us. That was Nietzsche said.
Aren't all miracles natural?
This is the Rambam Shita. The Rambam, the Ralbag took it one notch higher than the Rambam. This is one of the most controversial things the Rambam said. But okay, this is the Rambam's opinion. Now we've learned it. Saw it here first, gentlemen, right? Here.
So
Thursday Night Live.
This isn't the rope at all, you're saying?
This is the Rambam's understanding. Not everyone learns this way. There are difficulties with the Rambam's understanding. The Rambam mentioned what appears in Tanakh. What about the Gemara that discusses Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair had a sea split for him? Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, when he came to the river, what was it? What was the name of the river?
What?
We learned the story.
Say it again.
Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, there's a story, he was en route. And he reached a river. The Gemara tells us the name of the river. He called the river and said, I got to get through. I'm going to do a mitzvah. And the river said, well, I'm doing God's mitzvah. I'm traveling my course. And Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said, well, look, you have one of two choices. Either you split from me or I'm going to decree that you dry out. So you choose. And the river split. The Gemara brings a whole story. So what does the Rambam do with that story? So the Rambam might have a different interpretation, not to take that story literally. I'm just saying, this Rambam, there are a lot of points we could question. So the Rambam will say, okay, it was built in already for the day Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair would come to cross it. Meaning there's a lot to deal with. And what happened to Bechir HaChavshis here?
Which country decided?
Either Israel or Babylon. I don't remember. No. It was a small river.
Is that the story where after he crossed, someone else also made
the right.
He said, hey, wait for them too?
Yeah. No. It was a small river, but it had a name. I don't remember.
I don't know if it was the same thing. I also saw the Bada Mivad that said it wasn't before, basically. Because then they had their religious view. Their reformed rabbi came and said, obviously, there is no God splitting the overthrowing stone. What happened was an
anti-religious view. Okay. Look, we have to be honest. The fact that they could come up with natural explanations doesn't bother us. So the Rambam says it, and there are other sources that say it, and the truth is that logic dictates at some level that there has to be a capacity to explain things naturally. Because otherwise, where's the Bechira Chofshit? How could the Egyptians not accept God after all the plagues that happened? How could the Jewish people sin if there was no natural explanation to everything they saw? If God walked in and said, hi, I'm here, this is what I want, how do you ever have free choice? How come people don't become automatons? That's it, I'm a robot. So obviously there's room to doubt what you see. Like the Rambam wrote, we never learned that Rambam. The Rambam says in 7th, 8th chapter of Yesodei Torah, that when you see a miracle, you always have room for doubt. Maybe he tricked me. Maybe there's another way to get that done. Rambam says if anyone believes based on miracles, then he'll always have room for doubt. Okay, so the Rambam's interpretation of miracle is mainly time-oriented. But this Rambam needs a lot of work, as we mentioned. What about later day miracles? What about the Bechira Chofshit involved in all this? So the sea would have split even if we wouldn't have gone down to Egypt? How does all of that work? Okay. So you're giving an answer. I'm saying it needs work. I'm not saying there are no answers. I'm saying we're reading it and making believe, yeah, this makes sense, this is easy. Yeah, there's a lot of room for questioning here.
In all those cases, all those miracles, the last action that it was predetermined.
It says Hashem did this. Right.
Right. But I'm saying with the answer, it says Moshe raised his hand and did, and then it's split.
Right, but it like so that's what Nietzsche likes to point out. Nietzsche said, everyone focuses on Moshe raising his hand and the sea splitting, and people forget that the Torah says that Hashem had a wind blow the whole night before and the whole morning. Meaning the Torah also gives us an indication that we don't need Nietzsche to point out a pasuk in the Torah, but might as well give credit where credit is due. He liked pointing this out. I'm saying, the Torah does say this, and the Torah does say that when the plague of locusts comes, Hashem made a very strong wind. So I don't know how you what you do with the plague of blood. I don't know what you do with explaining that the pasuk says that the Jewish animals did not die. We were living in their midst. You know, what's Passover? God had to pass over the Jewish house in between the non-Jewish house, meaning we were living all in the same place. We weren't only in our own ghetto. And yet, the Jewish animals didn't die, it says in the Torah. And the plagues did not harm us. Fine, I'm just saying there are difficulties. You'll find the answers, okay?
I saw something about stone that said it was acid rain.
Yeah. Okay. It might have been also that's not necessarily false. Could be that too. The Shamir, Ubal Chai Katan, what is the Mishnah referring to when it says the Shamir was created at twilight? And it's not so clear whether the Rambam's version of Mishnah said twilight of Friday. Meaning the Mishnah that I have in front of me here doesn't say it was twilight of Friday. And the Rambam never refers to it being Friday. So it could be the Rambam learned that these were created on different days at twilight. And then we have to ask another question. What difference does it make if it's created during the day or at twilight? What relevance does it have? So that deserves its own analysis. Shamir is this little creature that breaks big stones when it passes over them. And King Solomon used it to build the temple. How did King Solomon get all those magnificent stones if you're not allowed to use any metal instrument to quarry the stones for the temple? So we have on tradition, he had this little creature called the Shamir, where you'd put it down and anything beneath it would crack. The Tzvat, what is the Tzvat? Amil Kachaim, that's a tweezers, a clamp. Shebo Machzikim and Napachim, that the blacksmiths use, Et Adabar Acham, when they hold something hot, Kedei Sheyasu Bo Ma Sheyasu, so that they can make whatever they have to make in the fire. How do you hold it in the fire? So you have this clamp that holds on to it. So that's what we saw today in our Mishnah. The 10 things that were created at twilight, the mouth of the earth, the mouth of the air, the well that the Jewish people drank from 40 years, the mouth of the mule. It's a bit problematic because Maimonides learns that the whole conversation that Bilam had with the mule was all a prophetic vision. And here the Rambam says, yeah, that mouth of the mule, that's part of the Mishnah. So which one was it? Did the mule actually physically talk, or was that a prophetic vision of seeing the mule talk? There seems to be a slight contradiction here. The rainbow, that needs work. So if it's built into nature, maybe that's easier to understand. The man, that needs work as well. There are commentaries that discuss the man that fell out in the desert. Was it something natural or not natural? According to the Rambam, it was natural. There are places out in the Sinai desert. We had a student here, David Gabler, who served in the Sinai Desert with the American forces. And he told us that there are areas in the Sinai Desert where something comes down from the sky, where you see piles of stuff outside. So is the man something that's natural or not? The Teferish Yisrael, in his commentary on the Mishnah, also discusses that if you go out into the Sinai Desert, there's something that comes down, and they call it man, and it's not the man that they got in the desert. He points out that it's not. That wasn't it. The staff, okay. The shamir is this worm. The ktav is the Torah that predated the world. And the mikhtav is the special writing that was used for writing the luchos themselves. And some say even the mazikim. The Rambam didn't explain to us what are mazikim, these spiritual creatures that harm. The burial plot of Moshe, the Rambam didn't explain. We have on tradition that it's a place where you can't find. People were standing at the bottom of the mountain. They saw it on top. They went to the top. They saw it on bottom. They split up. Each one saw it by the other one. And the ram of Avraham Avinu, the Rambam didn't explain what was spectacular about that ram. And then the tzvat, the Rambam explained to us, is this clamp. Yes, Mo.
You said last week that the Rambam
Correct.
Yeah, and what do you say about the Torah that predates the world?
That's one of the things that was created in twilight, according to the way the Rambam explains. Other commentaries say that it predated creation by thousands of years. Yeah, 26th generation to be exact.
With the Man, it says that...
Not 26, I'm sorry. 1,884 generations before creation. Yeah.
The man is supposed to be an Omer for all, a keepsake for all the generations. So, at which point... First question is, which point did that... end, where like people didn't identify the Man, and at which point were people able to, like, people would have seen what the Man is, right? So since people were able to see it, doesn't that mean they would be able to identify like what is and what's not, like when they're coming to sing, like, what's like,
yeah,
falling out of the sky? Like, which point did that end? Is that like the second temple period?
First temple, end of the first temple, time of Yoshio, yeah.
Right. And people so